Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we continue to try to figure out what the hell is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. We turn to some of the numbers guys. 538, great website for you to check out, the sports section. A lot of very thoughtful writing that goes on there. And one of the writers, Daniel Levitt, penned a piece a little while ago. Busy schedule. We finally have a chance to talk to him about it. And that is about what the hell is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. He joins us on our Sprint guest line right now. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Tell me, what's you know, you look at it, and I know the ELO I'm familiar with because I follow your site. You guys taught it to me. But which is basically, for people who don't know, kind of a projections or a ranking system, if you will, based upon the caliber of opponents you've beaten, and you can rise and fall based upon each game. And the Chiefs have what? Tanked harder than anybody ever in history, from where they were at 5-0 to where they sit now. When you wrote this, they were 6-5. They dropped another one to the Jets, so it hadn't gotten any better. Is this the biggest tank that at least since 538 can go back?
That's right. Yes, we ran the numbers, and as you mentioned, the ELO ratings, an ELO rating of 1500 is around average. So after week five, when the Chiefs were 5-0, they had an ELO rating of 1700, by far and away the highest in the whole of the NFL this season. And so we found, if teams to have a ELO rating of 1700, as the Chiefs did after week five, they have the quickest collapse or meltdown, however you want to call it, after week 12. That's when we penned the piece. Now we know a little bit more, and they lost the Jets, obviously, on Sunday. That's going to just get even lower. So it's as far as we know, it's the quickest collapse of great teams in NFL history.
And listen, I think one of the things that's interesting about it and caught my eye is that, and we've talked about it, and I think one of the things we as fans have to remember, and I don't think, certainly not nationally and locally, we've given enough credit to the injuries, because they had a lot of the injuries when they were going 5-0, but sometimes you can mask that. Eventually you put enough stuff on tape and they go, well, wait a minute. You know, Chris Conley in and of himself, he's obviously not Jerry Rice as a wideout, right? But when he goes down and you don't have a Spencer Ware to come in behind Kareem Hunt when you take him out of there, and you lose your guard, and you lose your center, and you lose another guard, you know, all these different things are going on. Each one by itself isn't enough to topple you, but all of them start to add together. So we start to pose the idea of injury as part of it. And I think that's contributed to it, but it's not like it's been the quarterback that's gone down. And I know Alex Smith bounced back with a really impressive game, statistically speaking, other than the final drive where he couldn't get it done against the Jets. The team they compared to is the Packers. Aaron Rodgers went out. Okay, they're the other ones that you put in there that have gone through this major drop. We get it. Is there ever been a team that you know, has had a fall even close to this when it wasn't a quarterback that changed things around?
I'm not sure there has been. And as you mentioned, injuries are part of the game. Every team in the league has to deal with them. That's what the smart people in the front offices do in the offseason. They build a team that has enough depth and does make the decisions to account for this. But when we look at what the Chiefs have done since starting 5-0, they've now won 1-6. And you look at the losses, the teams they've lost to, Oakland, Buffalo, the two New York teams, they're not good teams. So even with the injuries and with a quarterback of Alex Smith's caliber, I know he's got a lot of heat in the past of dropping off late in the season, but he through 5 weeks, he was the MVP. And to go from those heights to these lows is unprecedented, and it's completely mystifying. Even with all the injuries.
Yeah, and you mentioned the quarterback, and maybe it's fortuitous that we haven't been able to get you locked in until now, because you've written another piece about Russell Wilson, and if you look at it, if you were to break down the pieces of the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, they're rising with Russell Wilson. He's tied with four games to go, the NFL record, and I saw this from the NFL came out, and it's in your piece as well, 15 fourth quarter touchdown passes this year. I mean, he's kind of the anti-Alex Smith as well, right? Where Alex Smith had, statistically speaking, and for fantasy players, an incredible game on Sunday. Four touchdowns, no INTs, rushed for 70 yards on one carry. You know, that's a great day, threw for a lot of yards. That's a great statistical day. But when it was money time, at the very end, he couldn't get it done. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, who are ramping it up, who have also had their own injuries, really have no consistent running game, have questions on their offensive line. Yet Russell Wilson is constantly making it happen at the end of the games. Is it as simple as, I mean, you're a numbers guy. When you look at it and you did the research for the Chiefs piece, you do the research for the Seahawks piece. Is it as simple as who the guy is under center?
I'm not sure on that. The numbers only say so much. There's so much that goes into, you know, the context around the numbers. But what we do know is, as the game goes on, Russell Wilson steps up, and it seems to me, as you said, he's kind of the complete opposite to Alex Smith and the Chiefs this season. The Seahawks got off to an okay start. I think they went 1-2 to start the season. Couple of big injuries: Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman from the quote-unquote Legion of Boom have gone down for the season, and add to that Bobby Wagner, and yet Russell Wilson, when his teams needed it most, he stepped up. A cool little stat we found was through the first three quarters, Russell Wilson throws 2.5 touchdowns for every interception, but come the fourth quarter, that stat balloons to 4.2. So he, for every one interception he throws four touchdown passes. So they are going in the Seattle Seahawks and the KC Chiefs are going in an opposite direction. And it's I don't have all the answers there, but that's what makes it this game so enticing and exciting. You just don't know what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis.
Is there, and you're talking the Russell Wilson piece about you know, the injuries they've had. You just mentioned it again, the to their secondary and everything that's gone on with the Seattle Seahawks. Clutch is a big subject. I don't know how much you've done on baseball, but that was one of the big revelations when the statistical revolution in sports really started with baseball. And one of the first things, you know, way back, it really got going way back, but recently when it kind of got mainstream and the average nerd started getting into it, one of them was the debate about what is clutch, right? Mm-hmm. And the baseball guys, the numbers guys have you know, grinded through it. And for the most part, they come up with, you're not clutch in baseball. You are what you are. Some years you're hot, some years you're not. It's just kind of the balancing out of the math. Is it worked that way in football? I mean, you know, looking at the graph, I mean, there's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady on you know, different things that makes sense to me, right? When Russell Wilson's up there, is the conclusion that we've got a guy that's not just pretty good. This is one of the true greats, and where Tom Brady's statistical numbers came around later when he got better offensive talent around him. That's kind of what we're watching with Russell Wilson, is that you actually can be clutch. You can be a money guy at the quarterback position as opposed to the way baseball works.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And that's where guys like Rodgers, like Brady, get their big money. The debate, the people being clutch in baseball, I think, is slightly different, because you're relying on, especially with the hitters, you're relying on what the pitcher does. So there's a lot more variables to it. When it comes to football, what you need late in the game is a quote-unquote game manager, and I feel like that's exactly what Russell Wilson is. That's what Aaron Rodgers is. That's what Tom Brady is. So I feel like it's, while I don't have the numbers, and I'm not sure you'll ever be able to prove it definitively or not, I feel like, especially in football, the space of to be open, to be clutch, is a lot wider. And Russell Wilson, whatever he's doing in the first three quarters, he, when the time comes, he steps up. And I think that's catapulted him into the MVP talk for this season, for sure.
Are you familiar, and I apologize for asking you a question that you know, it would probably take a lot of preparation, but I didn't know if maybe you came across it. The ELO numbers, they ever just blow up and be wrong as far as projecting postseason? I know you do your weekly picks, basically, where your readers get to go up against the ELO projections for games that are going to be played that next week. You know, obviously 538, you know, got its start with nailing the election, which is a we found is a difficult thing to get your arms around. Do the numbers translate ELO-wise as far as who has playoff success?
Largely, they do. At the start of the season, we had New England at the top. We had Pittsburgh at the top. Seattle was themselves up there. But there's also the odd team that you just can't explain for. And this season, just the one that jumps out is the New York Giants. We had, I think they were in the top five ELO ratings, and now they're in the bottom five. The Kansas City Chiefs we had right up there, and as you can tell, one thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong, and they start falling down the standings. So to a large extent, our ELO ratings hold up, but there's always the odd team that surprises, and for whatever, for good or bad, they go up or down the rankings. So it's tricky to predict at the start of the season what's going to happen through 17 weeks. But I think for the most part we've got them.
Right. Nobody's going to bat 1,000 when it comes to projecting it. But it does seem like, you know, baseball, 162 games of data, right? 162 data points, if you will. And then it boils down to just, you know, less than a tenth of that, you know, a fraction of it, you know, in a best of five series. Forget about the wild card game, which is a complete crapshoot. But a best of five series and a best of seven series is, you know, such a small sample size of what the season is. It's less than 5% of your season. So you can see where the variance is. 16-1, though, is almost kind of perfect, right? It's enough data to really get a feel for what a team is, and the ratio of one game, four quarters, 60 minutes. Football is probably the easiest to project, is it not?
Well, you would think so to start off. You know, smaller teams, small amount of games, easier to predict. But what we found is the more games that we, the more data points that we have to play with, the better projections that we can come to. So you would, again, saying that, you would think baseball is actually the easiest, but because we're dealing with teams and humans, things can go up or down, and because baseball is such a long season, that increases the room for error as well. So something like football, where, you know, there's only 16 games, a big injury to, let's take Aaron Rodgers right now. I'll let your listeners into a little glitch in our projections. Right now, our algorithm still has Green Bay pretty high. It's still pretty high on Green Bay because it doesn't take into account injuries such as Aaron Rodgers. So, but we know because we're watching the games and we're humans that the Green Bay Packers aren't what they used to be with Aaron Rodgers. So the algorithm can only do so much, and that's why it needs humans like us to sort of point it in the right direction and tinker with it. And, I feel like football is the one sport that can go either way just because there is so much importance riding on each game.
Does it value more what you've done lately? I mean, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers is still in that mix and he's not playing, but does it – you know, value who you are of late, like the last five games count more than the first five games, or no, every game's a game?
Yeah, it sort of isolates each game by game. It takes into account the location of the game. It takes into account the quality of the competitor, the opponent.
Sure.
And it doesn't really take into account the luck or the form of a team. So it sort of treats each game independently.
And that's what's amazing. And because of the caliber of opponent being factored in, the fact that the Chiefs are losing games to mediocre and bad teams, that's what's killing their ELO. Mm. But their ELO is also being propped up by those five wins that now look like they were kind of fluky. So in reality, they may be way worse than even what the ELO rating says.
They could be.
Good news.
I'm just playing around with it now. However, if they right now we have them with a 62% chance of still making the playoffs, which is pretty high.
Yep.
That's probably a little too high for their current run. But if they turn it around and they beat the Raiders this week, that chances of making the playoffs balloons to 80%. So sometimes you've got to take it with a pinch of salt, but what it does is gives us the best possible snapshot of each team's chance of making the playoffs or not making the playoffs.
So 52-80, you said?
Right now they're 62, sorry.
62, I'm sorry.
And
okay,
if they beat the Raiders in week 14, I believe we're at now, that shoots up to 80%, and that's going to have a particularly large increase because the Raiders are obviously a division rival.
Right.
So, it's almost a double game almost,
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it speaks to what's on the line. Virtually 20% of their chances of making the playoffs, 18%, we'll round it to 20 to make it easy. 20% of their chances of making the playoffs are riding on this game, which I know somebody say, well, there's four games left. That's 25% each. But no, the whole body of work is coming down to this. Mm. That is amazing. We're talking right now to Daniel Levitt from 538.com. Daniel, time for my final four. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Don't forget, right now, by the way, callers 8 and 10 can win a lotto prize pack from us here at 810. You can enter those non-winning holiday scratcher tickets in the Kansas Lottery Play On Loyalty Program. Go to kslottery.com for details. You can win up to $15,000 in the second chance drawing. Four quickies. Just tell me the first thing that pops into mind. You've got a great thing up there. You did your World Cup team you should root for, which we're all disappointed the U.S. isn't in there. But you can go through, take a 7-question quiz, and this tells you which team you can root for. It's got 7 different, kind of ways to what kind of team do you like to root for and different aspects. We loved it. We all three took it. I'm curious, did you take the quiz and who did it come up with for you?
So, fortunately, I had no pressure riding on me taking the quiz because my country of England is in the World Cup. But I did take it, and okay. I got Peru.
Okay.
And I didn't really delve into why I got Peru, but I'll be riding with them as and when England exits early on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like the confidence there. We took it, and turns out Curtis is going to be rooting for Nigeria. Rob's rooting for Croatia now. I got Spain. So,
you're a lucky one.
Yeah, I like where it is. But it is kind of interesting if you go through and if you just go back and change any of your answers, it'll generate a new team. So it's very cool. I like that a lot. You are a Missouri Tiger, right? You're from England, but you're a Missouri Tiger. Is that correct?
Yeah. I just graduated a few months ago from their journalism program. Did a master's out there, and now hunkered down in New York.
Yeah.
Get the year ready for the winter to bite. So,
it's coming. Trust me. I went to Syracuse. So you're gonna. It's not as bad as Syracuse, but you're gonna feel it. So here's what I want to know: when do the Missouri Tigers win the SEC in football or basketball? Which one do they win first, football or basketball?
Now that's gonna require a lot more confidence than I've previously shown. But if you had to ask me, I would say the basketball team, just because looking at the football field, you got Auburn, you got Alabama, Georgia. It's just
deep water.
No way I see us getting through them anytime soon. Anyway,
all right. Have you finished your holiday shopping?
So I have not even started, and I'm one of those people that leaves it right until the last minute. So
good
this
for
is
you.
Still. I'm still good all the time. This is always for me.
Yeah, good. I like that. I like the honesty. And finally, and most importantly, like I said, the inspiration for the website. Who's the next president of the United States?
I'm going to refrain from answering that and let the politics people at our site answer that because I will be stepping on those toes.
Okay, I like that. I like that. You know what you know, and you stay out of the way of the other stuff.
Sports.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, Daniel, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.